This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Female, if you're starting out, just buy a bred cow. Just buy her bred. That'll be so much easier for you if you just get her already bred.
Mm-hmm. Unlike humans, the male's only needed for 5 minutes of the whole cycle. And it's debatable, I guess.
Debatable.
So at that point, the male's job is done. You're still feeding and caring for it. I'm going to talk myself out of a job here. He's still feeding and cleaning up after.
All year round.
But he was only needed for 5 minutes. For years, we have said we were not going to do this. And now we have. Take a guess. This is the three things I want you to do this morning while you're waiting for our live show to begin. Take a guess in the comments below. If you've been a long-term follower of Home Study, we've talked many times about this topic. We've said we were not going to do this a long, long time. And now we have flip-flopped. We're going to talk about why we changed our mind, why we have changed how we're doing things here at the homestead. We're also going to talk about where we've been. We've been away for a couple weeks. We've gone dark. We had a lot of emails asking where we've been, what we're up to. A lot has been going on. You've missed out on a lot, but we're going to catch you up today, so don't worry. No more missing out. Also, while you're waiting for the show to begin, please click the share button, post this to your favorite social media site. I don't care what social media site it is, or where you share it, or even text it to a friend, whoever you think will enjoy watching the show. It's Saturday. We could actually get a lot more viewers on a Saturday morning. We rarely do Saturday morning shows, but because we've been away for so long, we figured we better come back and update everybody on what's been happening. So you're gonna find out a lot of what's been going on. We got a lot of new animals here on the homestead to talk about. And then, of course, the third thing that you can do while you're waiting, guess in the comments below, what are we doing that we said we wouldn't? Share this video, and then the easiest one is just hit the thumbs up. Hitting that thumbs up helps this video perform better. It tells YouTube, hey, this is a good video. Share it with more people. While you're waiting for us to settle in, enjoy as my son tells you about his brand new breed of chicken that we brought to the homestead. Find out why he selected this rare chicken breed.
So in last week's show, the chicks were at the post office that we talked about. Well, they've been here for about a week now. They're learning how to fly. So the other morning, all but two chicks were out, just everywhere. Here was one of the blue arowanas. They have like the orange on their wings, and they have like the bluish color, and I already have some Americanas, and they're really nice birds, so I got some of these guys. They will lay blue eggs, probably, obviously. Yeah, they should start laying about maybe 3 months or so. And blue's my favorite color, so blue Americanas.
We said in the description we got 3 new animals. I should have been specific. 3 new kinds
types of animals. Yeah, there are a lot more than 3 there.
There are so many new animals on this homestead. And that's partially why we have been nowhere to be seen. We disappeared from the internet.
It's spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
On a Saturday.
I'm actually really excited. I've wanted to do a Saturday show for a long time because more people can join for a Saturday.
Yeah, so Noah's here watching with his kiddos.
Yep, I saw Karen's here.
Karen changed her avatar.
Awesome. She's getting ready for big things.
Dakota is going to get us an alligator.
Why not? At this point,
Why not? We
literally could have every animal. Work it into aquaponics. What would they call an aquaponics, but if it's alligators?
Crocoponics.
You heard it here first on Home Study.
I know alligators and crocodiles are different.
Easy.
I know.
She was really into
it. I have a 2-year-old. He tells me they're different.
Yeah. And you went to the reptile store a couple times as a kid.
They do have alligators there. See, we could have an alligator.
Yeah. There's reptile stores with alligators. Absolutely. Yeah.
They had alligators in their outdoor enclosure, and they actually ended up being stolen. Somebody came and stole their alligators.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to do.
Don't steal people's alligators.
No, go get your own. Go to Florida. She said they had baby alligators at the rest stop on the way to Florida.
At the rest? Okay, I think they were like, they weren't like showing them at the rest stop, right? Were they just in the woods? Let us know in the comments.
Were the
baby alligators like hanging out in the woods, or was somebody like
selling
baby alligators?
All right, Dakota.
Maybe Dakota's really bringing us an alligator.
Now Austin starts to sweat a little bit.
I want to start the show. Just a quick, quick apology. I know we've been getting a lot of messages because we did disappear for a couple weeks. That's on me. I haven't put out an email. We have been super busy. You're going to find out about half of the things we've been dealing with this last, I want to say dealing, but doing. How about that? That's a better word.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people out there, springtime and our neck of the woods, planting season, it's baby season, it's births, it's all kinds of things happening right now on the farm.
And so certain things just take a precedence. For example, you know, we had the pig birth. We talked about it in our last live show. And then you have these little babies that you're caring for and you're nursing along and making sure things are going smoothly. And so it's been a lot of that this spring, a lot of things going on, and we've just been so, so busy. That's why in this episode, we're literally covering 3 new animals. And spoiler alert, that's not all the new animals. So
there's lots of guesses in the comments.
Yeah, so you might actually not be wrong. And you'll think you're wrong today. So that'll be like cliffhanger for the next show we'll do. And we are going to try to get back to doing our regular show. So just join the email list. There's a link below. I did send out an email yesterday to warn everybody, hey, we're coming back. We got a live show planned. So
see, he can do it.
I can do it.
He can give advanced warning. It's possible.
Shall we dive into first talking about our new chickens?
Chickens. Yeah.
Not really our chickens, as you saw in the
our
intro.
Our sons. We're getting to kind of a nice point with the kids where they're getting older. And when they're 5 years old, you can say they're chickens, but there's a lot more work involved for us. At this point, though, we can say they're his chickens, and he does take care of them. He's very responsible with them, and it lightens the burden off of us. The fact that he wanted new chicks, we had no problem sponsoring half the chicks, and he sponsored the other half, and he's taking great care of them.
You'll remember if you saw our last live show, it ended with us saying we have got to run off to the post office and pick up the chicks. So we went, we got them, and we brought them home, and we've been doing Cornish chicks for a long time, so the little kiddie pool setup kind of works well for the Cornish chicks. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple years since we did like heritage chicken chicks.
And I don't think it was clear in our memory, in his memory even, what not Cornish chicks are like.
Cornish chicks are like Cornish adults, much more calm than they're.
They're not. They can jump out of things. They're just not as maybe driven to.
Yeah.
But these little Araucanas, oh, yeah. And you got Wyandottes, and they're just popping up all over the place. They didn't stay in that pool for past the first week.
Yeah.
And so they were in the garage next to the house, and then Mommy said, "Well, chicks, time to go back to the barn, because chicks are not staying where they have to."
Yeah. So now they're out in a little coop, and they're growing good. And
very spunky. If anyone noticed in that video, there are 5 or 6, I think, I ended up hatching out from our guinea eggs, little guinea keets. Hatched out about the same time we got his chicks. And they're all growing up together. So there are some guinea keets in that video if you caught those.
Yeah, we were covering the guinea hatch at the beginning of starting up our live podcast here this year. And we actually, the first hatch was kind of a flop. We only had 2 hatch out of that first batch. And fortunately, we kept collecting eggs. This is the best we've ever done as far as collecting guinea eggs goes. We've got so many.
Those eggs... 2 hatched, and they both died in the first day or 2. So that was definitely a flop.
But now we have...
But the guineas are still laying. They're laying really well for us. We're getting lots of guinea eggs every day. And from that, I tried to put a lot of eggs under our hens, our broody hens in the barn, and they decided, no, we don't want to set on these eggs.
What is it about broody hens?
When they as you try to, like, convince them?
Yeah, when they want to be broody, they're like... I'm broody, buddy.
They'll sit on, like, nothing for 4 weeks. They won't move. And as soon as you, like
you know what? Let's not beat them. Let's join
them.
Let's sign a couple under there.
Then they're like, no, I want to sit in this nest box.
Maybe they're not broody. They're just lazy. They, like, don't want to do anything. They just want to, like, hang out.
I want to brood.
I like this nest box.
I'm not mother material.
That's funny. I'm broody. I'm not... mothery. I don't know.
But I ended up taking all those eggs from them. So they had set on them a couple days, moved them into the incubator. Wasn't sure if anything would happen because they had been hot and cold. But I got, maybe 6 out of those. 6 ended up hatching. A few didn't hatch. That's in the incubator like we have. It's not a perfect setup, so I know there's probably a humidity issue. But I was happy with what we got. If we keep... just augmenting the guineas we have. When one goes missing because they're in the woods and a fox grabs them, then I've got this next batch coming up. So it feels nice to have our own little
self-sufficient
little guinea cycle. Yeah, we've never had this before.
No, guineas have always been really hard for us to keep the cycle going. We've always had to order more guineas. And guineas are very expensive eggs, and they're expensive as keets.
And, you're taking... they're inside for a long time, so you're dealing with
they're
all
fragile.
That.
They're fragile. Guinea keets can drown in your water very easily. It's like a tough little thing to nurse along. So to have a continuous cycle...
renewable now.
A renewable resource here on the homestead is actually really, really good for us. And we want to have guineas every single year-round because of ticks. They just constantly are eating those ticks, which is really, really good. And we have tick season in the spring. We have tick season in the fall. Ticks are a blessing in Pennsylvania. We get to enjoy all year round.
And they were in Connecticut, too.
Well, I mean, Connecticut's like tick capital of the world. Lyme disease. That's all Connecticut.
That's all
Thank
you.
Thank you, Connecticut. That's why we left. Not really, but...
So guineas for ticks.
Now, guineas were not the only... guinea keets were not the only thing that we lost. We have some sad news. Another thing we lost since we've been away. Little Bartok, he didn't make it. In case you don't remember who Bartok was.
That little piglet with the little cleft lip who we were nursing along. And he just ended up dying last week. So he did survive.
Yeah.
Until he was 3 weeks old, was it?
Yeah.
2, 3 weeks old. We weren't sure if he got any colostrum at the beginning. So he was kind of perpetually had scours that we were treating, and he wasn't growing. When we would see him and then look at the other piglets on the sow, they were huge compared to him. So he was warm, he was fed, he had a nice little life. And we learned a lot, especially about nursing along new piglets. If we would have another weak piglet, I would know exactly what to do. in the hopes to get them back on the mother. That would be my goal for any piglets from here on out, because they are demanding and needy.
And if you can get them back on the mother, they're more likely...
They'll be much healthier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen that with the batch.
It's just better for them to be on the mother. So even if you're looking into getting a pet pig, make sure it's been on the mother long enough that it's been weaned at the appropriate time. Because if not, it is an uphill battle keeping them healthy.
Yep. So, sad update. Little bar talk. Didn't make it.
Yeah, don't be too sad, though. It was just sad watching him with the constant scour. So when he finally died, it was kind of a relief that he didn't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah. So, and we learned a lot from it. So, homesteading 101. You learn from the sad stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, you learn from, right. I think you try to take a lesson away from whatever you do.
Now, the great homesteading pendulum, you lose some, you win some, or you gain some, you lose some. We said we got more than, we have two more animals to tell you about today. Last year, for the first time, I want to say ever, we actually raised and finished
lambs
on the homestead. And I have been, in the past, you may remember, we've talked a lot about lambs. I talked a lot about sheep and lambs in a more negative light, as far as like a beginner homesteader. They can be a difficult animal. I do not suggest them for like beginners. So a lot of people thought I was like anti-sheep. And last year when we got sheep people and lambs, people were kind of surprised. Like, oh, I thought you didn't want lambs. So we were actually, last year we got feeders with the idea that we were going to raise them and put them right in the freezer. And we had some lambs and sheep in the past, but very, very short term, never finished them. Last year was a huge success. Sheep and lambs went through.
Yeah, and they were delicious.
Yeah, and that was the biggest success, is they were so delicious. We are huge fans of lamb on the plate.
Right. For us, and I think you tried again this year, to like start breeding sheep. We are not interested in that, Austin. It's just too much. And it is a lot to take on another breeding animal.
Yeah.
Whatever you're getting into, to take on breeding an animal yourself opens up lots of new things, issues that you don't have to handle when you're just raising feeders. And fortunately for us, there are local farms to us who raise lambs as feeders for people to buy.
If you're not familiar with the term feeder, it just means you purchase, usually it's a recently weaned animal, whether it's a pig or a lamb or whatever, and recently weaned, and the idea is that you get it to raise it to the point of butchering.
Of finishing.
Finishing. And then you put it in the freezer with no intention of continuing to breed. So take a minute, enjoy meeting our new lambs. Behind me are our new, I want to call them sheep. They look like fully grown sheep. They're actually technically lambs, but I mean, they're huge lambs. We got ourselves this year another batch of feeder lambs for the homestead. Some of you will remember last year we had some feeder Katahdin lambs, and we really, really enjoyed having lambs out on the pasture. Sheep are not our favorite homestead animal. We find sheep to be, you know, kind of a challenge. Small ruminants can be some of the most difficult homestead animals to have, dealing with issues like worms and just, you know, proper nutrition and that sort of thing. It can be kind of complicated. However, the benefits of small ruminants are you can feed them pretty much everything they need off of your pasture. You got to make sure they're getting the right minerals, and you can supplement their diet with some grain too if you choose to. But something like sheep, I mean, we did our feeder Katahdin lambs last year, start to finish out on the pasture, from little tiny lambs all the way to, you know, full size, ready to go in the freezer lambs. That's one of the really nice benefits of small ruminants, is you can actually just, you know, raise them off of the grass that you're growing in your pastures. And because we did feeders last year and this year, it means we don't have to worry about wintering a breeding pair.
Of course, that does mean you have to purchase your lambs, and that can be an added cost. But I find sometimes doing feeders, the extra cost of buying the stock that you're going to raise, the feeders themselves, kind of offsets the amount of work you have to spend in the winter time with the livestock, caring for them, and also dealing with the breeding and things. So for the foreseeable future, while we really like doing lamb, still plan on doing feeders, don't have any intentions of breeding lambs ourselves right now. That could always change. But right now we like doing the feeders. These are Katahdin Texel cross, and the reason we chose this particular cross, we found a really good farm not too far from us who were selling these, and a lot of times when it comes to feeders, we're not super picky on the breed itself or the cross. More, we're just looking for a good source. If you're buying feeder pigs, if you're buying feeder sheep, whatever you're buying just to raise for meat, if you're not planning on breeding it, if it's not going to be on your homestead for the next decade, I personally think the breed isn't as important as the source. Are they a really nice little farm? Are they reputable? Do they have good quality livestock? Are they checking for certain diseases? Are you going to be bringing some weird disease onto your homestead by purchasing from them? So we found a really good little farm to buy these from. They want to do the Katahdin Texel cross because it produces a very, very large carcass. They found at the farmer's market, they mentioned they were getting a lot more for the product. People like the Texel Katahdin cross. It's a meatier product, and on the table you get a lot more meat, more bang for your buck. I could tell right away because when I came to pick these up, I didn't think these were the lambs. I thought they were the sheep that were having the lambs. They're huge lambs. They already weigh 80 pounds. I think last year's Katahdins, we finished around 80 pounds, whereas these ones, we could, if we take them into the fall, we could expect to have a 130-pound lamb, which that's awesome. So we'll get a lot of lamb in the freezer from this batch, and we're excited to see what they do.
I was shocked when we pulled up and saw these lambs waiting for us. We had scheduled, okay, we're going to pick them up, feeder lambs, we're going to pick them up in May. And, you know, feeder lambs, last year we got them, they were like 40 pounds. We pull up and we see these lambs in this pen. And I said to the owner, I said, oh, are these the sheep that had the lambs? They were huge for just being
double probably what we got last year.
And they've only been alive since February.
Yeah, they're 3 months old.
Yeah, but this cross, I mean, they called, she said it was a terminal cross.
They're using a terminal sire, so the goal is to breed these meat sheep. And she sent a photo of him, and he's like built like a tank.
Now, we like raising hair sheep
We don't want to worry about shearing anybody.
Right, that's one of the big reasons. So, Katahdins, we've seen St. Croix.
St. Croix.
And York,
the black bellies, right?
There's a few different kinds of hair sheep. We've done all hair sheep, the ones we
Wiltshire.
Did last year. Wiltshire horn, that was the one. This cross, the ram, he actually is a fiber.
Mm-hmm.
He has...
They're from... Oh, she sent me an email. Netherlands, I want to say. But this breed originated over there. And just a big, beefy sheep breed that is good temperament. She said the one downside about him is she's got to shear him, but he's a good sport about it.
And she mentioned how she specifically knew, okay, getting into this, I would have to shear the ram, but because he can breed all my ewes, I can have him, I only have to shear him. The ewes are hair sheep, so they do not have to be shorn. And so while she will have to shear one animal, most of her flock, she doesn't have to mess with shearing. And the end product, I mean, these lambs
they're beautiful.
Huge.
Now, their farm is called Phillips Family Katahdin, and they're in Washington, PA. They have lambs right now for sale. She's working on getting her breeding program, so she's got pretty much lambs all the time to sell people. We can link to that later.
Yeah.
But if you want to find lambs in, that's southwestern PA, Pittsburgh area, Phillips Family Katahdins.
And I was so impressed when I saw those lambs there. I actually said, they're too big. I said, do you have anything
smaller?
He
looked for actually smaller ones.
Yeah, because I wanted to have something that I had more time. But, I mean, we looked at a four-week-old lamb.
So it's still being bottle-fed, right?
I want to say maybe it was six-week-old. Six-week-old lamb, and it was already 45 50 pounds.
Yeah, maybe just weaning. And
yeah, whereas last year, the eight-week-old lambs that had been weaned that we picked up, they were 40 pounds. So these things
So slower growing are Katahdins from last year. It'll be interesting to see some of the smaller ones you got, this Texel Katahdin cross, how quickly they grow on just grass. We'll see.
Yeah, and Becky did mention when we were chatting, when she has them in the barn, the lambs get grain. They'll grow faster with that grain. Our intention, the reason we get lambs is because we have a huge, huge pasture.
Lots of grass.
In the summer, our animals cannot keep up with it. So to have some lambs running through, helping to keep up with the pasture that are then gone during the time of year where there's very little pasture, for us, it's like a win-win. The lambs help just keep up with what we have out there, but then we don't have to feed anybody hay over the wintertime.
And they're delicious.
And that's the biggest reason.
So good.
So, yeah.
They're also a nice-sized animal for you to butcher just yourself.
Yeah.
Very easy to butcher a lamb.
That was one of the biggest reasons last year I decided, you know what, next year I definitely want to do a lot of lamb. Last year, you'll remember, we butchered, obviously, Ladybug. We had the whole cow to butcher. That was a huge ordeal. I needed to get a lot of help, and everything was hard because it was so much weight and size. Sheep?
Pigs are kind of the same way, because if you want to keep all that fat, you have to get all the hair off, so you're dunking them in almost boiling water, so that's another big ordeal.
Yeah, and then even like something like a deer, if you get a big old buck, you need a buddy to help you lift that buck up. I mean, almost everything you butcher, chicken butcher day, you need a lot of hands because there's a lot of different jobs. Mm-hmm. The easiest animal, I think, by far, to process, lamb. It's small enough, you can throw it over your shoulder.
Right, somebody will say, like, a single chicken's easy. Yeah, a single chicken's easy, especially
sure.
If you're just going to skin it. Right?
But that's for us, easy. Chicken butcher day is like a huge ordeal with lots and lots of help and hundreds of animals. A single lamb, it's light enough, you can throw it over your shoulder. you don't have to worry about, like, scraping any hair. You mm-hmm. pull that hide off very, very easily. And it's like a mini deer, so if you're familiar with how to butcher a deer.
I think lamb is one of the... It's expensive in the supermarket.
That's another great point. So new kind of lamb we're experimenting with. All right, now the moment everyone's been waiting for, right? What have we been saying for years that we would not do or weren't going to do? And then we flip-flop.
For years.
For years.
So it's not goats, because goats has been Austin's hill to die on just from the last maybe year.
Goats, it's every other year, basically.
Yes,
I say no more goats, then we get goats. And then I say no more goats, and then we get goats. This one we've...
Fickle, fickle man.
We've never had... So, spoiler alert, it's an animal, and we've never had this, and we've always said we weren't going to.
I never say never. I never say we are never going to do this ever in our entire life, but sometimes we say we're not going to do something because we are not set up for at that moment, or have the experience, or the need for a certain animal in that moment, okay? My disclaimers.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's like a basic homestead disclaimer, like... You should probably never say never unless it's about goats, and then it's a good idea to never say never.
Yeah.
Or always say never. But most of the time, things change. Your priorities change. Your farm can change.
Yeah, you could say, hey, we're always going to have cows. We love cows, love cows. Well, we downsize to a half acre. We're not going to have cows on that. We're going to downsize our animals as well.
Yeah. Well, in this instance... For a long time, we said we weren't going to get it. This is your last chance in the comments section. Guess what we decided?
Lemurs? Elephants? See, people...
They know us really well. You are exactly right. We said we were not going to get an elephant, but the day has come.
They're my baby. One of his favorite animals, too. He would be. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thrilled.
Welcome to the Homesteady Zoo, Greenacre says. Yes, exactly. No, it's not an elephant. Although I do think that would be pretty cool. There's elephants at the zoo in Pittsburgh, and they're pretty cool to see.
I'd love to see Indian elephant. Like, they're smaller. Wild
elephants. There you go. We could start the mini elephant movement.
Yes, it's probably illegal.
Probably. All right, the animal.
Not an elephant.
Not an elephant.
This is our new little bull calf, which is a first for us on our homestead. We've never had strong enough fencing to feel secure about having a bull on the property. We leased a few last summer, and I think Austin and I both agreed, like, it was nice to do the breeding that way, and if we would get some good fencing up, we could keep a bull more permanently here. And so we got our fencing up, and here's our little bull. Yet unnamed. He came named something, but it's my cousin's name, so I can't keep it. So we'll change his name to something. A little mini Jersey bull. The girls are loving it. I know they'd love to get their noses right up there with them, but we'll keep them separated for the first few weeks. He's got really nice Jersey, mini Jersey genetics, actually ones that I tried to breed the girls to last year, but they didn't take to. So I'm excited to have him. Gonna work on getting better feet on our girls, straighter backs, and hopefully helps improve our herd overall.
Had a couple people guess correctly. Dakota knew.
Dakota, because she's, you know, she's into the cow world. So she knows, like, eventually you get enough girls on there and it's just going to make your life a little easier to bring on a bull.
Yeah. And I think Alicia guessed correctly. There were a couple who guessed. In the past, we have said no to a bull. First off, when we had just Ladybug, it just didn't make much sense. Right? You have one cow. If you ever, a lot of people have, we'll write about this. You can see different comparisons financially of how it works out. If you have one female,
if you're starting animal, out, just buy a bred cow. Just buy her bred. That'll be so much easier for you if you just get her already bred. That's what we did.
Because if you think about it, if you have one female and one male, the male is only needed for 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unlike humans, the male is only needed for 5 minutes of the whole cycle. And debatable, I guess.
Debatable.
So at that point, the male's job is done. You're still feeding and caring for it. I'm going to talk myself out of a job here. He's still feeding and cleaning up after.
All year caring, round.
But he was only needed for 5 minutes. I don't usually blush, but I'm looking pretty red on that camera.
Is that Jack, Mindful Homestead?
Yeah.
Jack had a feeling a bull was coming. How are you feeling, Jack? I know you were sick. Hope you're feeling better.
So, you don't want to have to care for the male. I can't do this.
But now that we have our three girls, we've had issues with the minerals, so we're breeding, we're AI again and again and again. I'm ready to, now obviously he's not breeding anyone this year. I'm hoping for next year. It was a little Jersey bull that he's fertile and ready to go about 9 months, but maybe a year he'll be ready.
Yeah, so for people listening to this later on the podcast, how old is he? What size is he?
Give a little details. He's 3 months old, and his mom is about a 45-inch cow, so she's a small Jersey. His dad's a mini. His dad is TDH. Is he Dino? I think he's TDH Dino Smurf, Dakota was asking. I always get Dino and Rio confused, but I think he's Dino.
And we've tried to breed to both.
And I tried to. I got straws from Dino last year. He's a really nice little mini Jersey bull. None of the girls took to him, so I was a little disappointed. But now I have this little guy. His name's Max. Is his son. Beautiful. Beautiful mom. Very nice genetics. I'm really happy with him. He won't be as short as probably Honeybee or Luna.
But Honeybee's real short. That's that'd be a dream.
But I was telling Austin, I don't mind adding a little height to my girls if I could get some nice conformation. Little longer teats would be nice. We'll see with Honeybee how she is to milk. She's short. And she has Luna's teats. To fit a milker under her, I'm going to have to put her up like on a wooden platform.
This was a big choice because if you're breeding for mini Jersey, just to have that mini, mini Jersey, there's a lot of value for people looking for a certain height. There's a lot of value there. You can get paid more for a smaller mini Jersey. And we do like having mini Jerseys. But ultimately,
we like a smaller cow.
Yeah.
But I would also like, if you're breeding livestock and if you're breeding a milk cow, I don't think you should just be focused on small, small, small. You also want to look at conformation. You want to look at your udders are very important. How are they going to be to milk? And is it going to be impossible to fit under them? You're going to have to lay down on the ground and reach your hand up to be able to milk them?
I was really proud of you because I usually lean towards get the mini one. They're the most popular. Get that really, really little thing. And Kay was like, you know what? Right now there's this big popularity in the mini animal. We do like smaller cows, just nice for a homesteader. But she said, ultimately, long term, I want the best all around family milk cow. Smaller family milk cow I can make. So if it's not technically 42 inches or, 38 inches or whatever the littlest ones are, if it's an inch, like Ladybug for us, she was not a mini, she was a mid-sized mini.
But great, she kept so easily on grass. She was a nice producer, not too much, but not too little.
Yeah.
She was an all-around really nice homestead cow, and that's what I want to breed.
That's Kay's goal, is the nicest homestead family cow you can get. Not, the very teeny tiniest. It's not just a height thing for you. So
no, but yeah. I'm trying to make my girls better, which is what your goal should be when breeding. And as inexperienced as I am in breeding cows, I'm relying on other people's advice and input, which I was able to get. And I'm excited about this little bull calf.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does. Yeah. The girls were very interested.
They're all at I thought it was cool, at the water cooler.
Yeah.
Like, hey, who's the new guy? You're all talking around the water cooler, getting the goss. Hey, who's the new guy? The little guy.
He's the little guy.
And he's, super intimidated by these giant girls all like.
And he came from Missouri, right?
Yeah.
He had a long drive, 12-hour drive out to here.
Yep.
He arrived, little eyes were crying, weeping eyes. And
yeah.
His runny diarrhea.
Yeah, you'll notice in the picture, he's got runny eyes, a little diarrhea. Traveling's hard on an animal.
Yeah.
We obviously are getting vet checks done. We already did before he came.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
all
he came
part
from
of the
a disease-tested herd.
So you might see in that and say, oh, he looks like something's wrong with him. Well, traveling,
it was a long
I look like
day.
That when I travel too.
Yeah.
Runny
he's
eyes
doing,
and,
yeah, his eyes are cleared up and his scours are better, so he's doing really good. And he loves his bottle. That is, he will have to learn manners, so we're going to put him with the other girls as soon as his quarantine period's over.
Right,
put him with
that's
the girls
why he's separate from them.
To teach
the
him cow. Learn to be cow, not bottle baby.
And that kind of goes back to in years past, we've said we didn't want to have a bull. First off, we didn't have the fencing for it. We did not have good quality fencing. That problem has been solved.
No, and if you noticed, Austin even put up that little, it's got blue fence post, little barrier post to keep him off of the grass we just seeded, and he isn't trained to electric, so
he
the fence fell down,
he
got zapped and he didn't go through it, but the fence post and he was, there was no keeping him in.
Yeah.
So
now we have, thank you to our future, we will be talking a lot more about this, but thank you to Ken Cove, even though we're not running their ad yet, I do want to thank them. They partnered with us on this fencing project, and so now we have woven wire fencing with a line of electric to train animals
for our paddocks,
hard fencing with a line of electric to get the mental part. He's down there right now
with
learning.
The sheep as well.
They're
so
all
they're
down
all learning about electric.
But they're learning within the confines of a good woven wire fence. So if you are looking into you know, doing something like this, you got to have the good fencing. Having a bull without really good fencing was, for us, it was just a big no. We weren't going to do it. We got the fencing problem fixed. The other reasons we had said no to a bull, financially, it didn't make sense because we only had the one cow. Now we have three.
Plus, the amount of pasture we have has increased substantially from what we had in Connecticut. There was no way we could have another cow or bull on our farm in Connecticut, but now we can. We have the space for it.
And we liked with AI the access to really good genetics. You can get all kinds of really good genetics.
Yeah.
We still will take advantage of AI. He's more of a backup.
Yeah, especially Luna's not breeding back. We're going to try her with AI for a few more times, try to get her bred. If not, he'll be nice to have on hand.
This is something you see, actually, a lot of
the cleanup bull.
Dairy farmers will do this. Beef farmers, I know. Our AI guy will talk about his own.
Yeah, he'll breed all his cows, and then he's got his bull.
That should tell you something. When an AI guy...
Yeah, he's got a cleanup
has
bull.
Has a cleanup bull. He knows, as good as he is, with his own animals, he's going to miss. And that's what we've seen for the last couple of years. We've had a lot of misses. A lot of hits, a lot of misses.
A lot of misses. I got another hit. Well, Luna's coming in heat in a few weeks. I'm going to try to catch her on a natural heat, but this is not my strength. So we'll try it. Hope she takes.
Yeah, so now... So much of that has changed, and we're now in the position where we have the right fencing for it. It's safe for us. We can still, you know, it makes more sense financially. We have three girls, so he'll do more work.
He'll do more work. Yes, he's A2, and he is, I believe he's homozygous polled, so he doesn't have horns. None of the girls have horns, and we won't be getting any horns unless we get a little fuzzy Highland.
Yeah, so this was a big, it was a big decision. How long have you been thinking about this?
For a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nice thing is, and he can also be turned into hamburger if, like, he gets, bulls are not an animal I want the kids to be with, which is why we have the good fencing now. We're already at the point with the camels and cows, little kids shouldn't be in with them. Unsupervised ever, but we already have the camels. The kids don't go in with the animals, so the bull can be with the other animals the kids don't go in with. And if he gets an attitude, if he starts being threatening or anything, we can always send him for hamburger.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, we were talking about this recently, you were teaching me about this, the age where they can become more of a issue, they already could have done the breeding you needed them to do, right?
So right. We can use him for the breeding.
At a younger age, he'll be ready to breed. When he gets bigger, and if he does, and you know, one of the things I learned this was another reason we actually felt comfortable making this step, having rented a bull this year, a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
We had the confidence of having experienced already bulls.
Ben supporting the mustache and the Highland. So thank you, Ben. This, super chat.
This mustache is brought to you by Ben.
Pretty much.
Ben just gave us two super chats. As all of you know, we say this every time, the super chats get split with the crew. So we know when we get a super chat because all of a sudden our kiddos who run the sound start going woo like this. And they usually use it to buy either cryptocurrency or Legos.
Or Legos.
So it's one or the other.
Equally as valuable.
Yeah, I would say so. Thank you so much, Ben. We really appreciate it.
So we got the experience with the bulls.
And even Ben actually mentioned the Highland, right?
The Highland Fund, yep.
The bulls, having experience around them, seeing what they're like. I remember when, what was the Jersey bull? What was his name?
Concho.
When Concho was here, his owner was... He knew I was new to bulls, and we're in the field with him and working around him. And he told me, he says, you can never trust him. He says, I love this bull. He's never been a problem. I don't worry about him ever, but you never trust him.
Never trust him.
So we're looking for a bull like that, hopefully.
It's like that with any large animal because they're big, and it can be ladybug whipping her head around.
Oh, this is a great point.
To get a fly, and she whacks you in the face, you know. Highland with horns, flipping a fly off can poke your eye. Like a goat, any animal.
A goat's always dangerous.
Can hurt you. Any animal can hurt you. You always have to be alert when you're around them.
Yeah.
And a bull's no different.
And if you are, we have a great episode. We actually interviewed one of our mods, Karen, who she works with livestock and cows a lot. And she told a story about being around a bull and being in a position where it was kind of scary. She had a really scary, and it worked out great, and it taught her a lot. So if you're thinking about, am I ready for a bull, go back. If you Google, safety, beginner, cow, something like that, that video should pop up, that interview with Karen. But it is a step. I feel like for us, we both needed to feel more confident around, first off, for me, I needed to feel confident around any large livestock. Because for me, it was completely new. You grew up with horses. You grew up with a donkey.
A mini donkey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just that a little count. One.
When you're little, a mini donkey's still a big animal.
I was like 15, though.
Okay. But you felt more, you've always been more comfortable around the livestock and the bigger ones, too. I've always been more intimidated. Spending time with Ladybug, that really changed me a lot. And then Millie and Solomon, working with them. Learning how to respect the animal without being afraid of it. Learning how to not put yourself in a dangerous situation with, I want to say, too much. You can have trust in your animal, but you don't want to. You maintain a respect.
Yeah, right? Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big. People with horses, you know. How many injuries are there from horses? I know cows are like they say it's the deadliest animal, but, I mean, think of how many more cows there are, right, than there are
sharks. I think honeybees are the deadliest.
All right.
I just heard that recently.
Point of contention, I guess.
Just got another super chat. Hatwit says, don't waste it on Dogecoin, kids.
They get you.
Thank you for the super chat. Yeah, so it's been a big change for us. And, you know, as he gets bigger and we work with him more, we'll obviously be learning a lot. We'll have our network.
I've never had to bottle feed a calf. It's a very new experience for me, especially working on teaching him manners, because he's mannerless right now. He goes for that bottle, and if he sees it, I was trying to sneak out of the gate today, and I had the bottle, and he was pushing through it. So I'm very much looking forward to getting him with the cows so they can teach him cow.
Yeah, it's funny watching him. You bottle feed him. It looks like, I mean, we've bottle fed goats in the past. And it's that same kind of reaction. It looked to me, all right, it's like bottle feeding a goat, but what they always do at the end is they give
you
that little headbutt.
So much force.
Yes.
I warned you about that, right? Like, don't hold the bottle up. And the kids have to be careful with this, too, because they're at the level, the bottle's going to be right by their face. And when he goes to bump for more milk, get a bloody nose from him. And
yeah.
He's very strong. Our 7-year-old can't feed him because he's just too... He's eager. Oh, man, Ben. And don't listen to the heathen. Doge to the moon. This is good. You get these altcoin guys going at it with each other. You guys will make out pretty good. The control room kids.
Yeah, the baby, he was thrilled when he saw this little bull. He's going, cow? See cow? He's really into animals. Good thing. We got at least one
animals.
Kid who loves animals. See cow, and he's watching that little bull, and
I was gonna say, even with animals, you're always conscious of your dogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your cats with your kids, like,
yeah,
animals are animals. So he's cute, he's a cute little bull calf, but we will have respect and teach the kids to have respect and always keep distance from him, never to be with him.
If you have any questions, make sure to tag @homestudy so we can see the questions in the chat box. Have you noticed any yet today? Other than our cryptocurrency argument.
I think we've been answering them as we've talked
good.
About it.
So if you guys do have any questions before we go this morning, it's nice. We have 176 watching. What do we got for thumbs up? We got 77, guys. Let's try to get that to 100. I don't know if we've ever got 100 thumbs up on a live show. But Saturday morning, it's a better time. You catch more people. So we'll have to see. Maybe we'll do a few more Saturday shows. So spring continues. Spring has been crazy.
Yes.
Saw in this video, we've got new chickens, baby chicks. They take a lot of time. Fortunately, our son pretty much heads that up. We have
lambs,
which right now, the time with the lambs is being spent training. So yesterday I was out there in the paddocks building those step and post temporary twine, trying to teach them, okay, don't go here where you see this. And what I do to train lambs, I set up the fence I want to train them to, grab a little grain, because these lambs have been grain fed, they're used to it. Grab a little grain and shake the bucket right on the other side of the electric fence. They come over to it. Some of them already had the concept down from being in the pen, but a couple others didn't. All it takes is one shock to the nose. So if you put the feed down on the ground, they go over and they get that one shock. And I know it sounds a little cruel, like, oh man, that's, but you, if you don't train your animals to an electric fence, they can escape a sheep or a goat, I'm convinced, could still escape pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And then they could die a gruesome death from a coyote.
So in there.
A little shock to the nose. Yeah, we've had that happen. Coyote kills on the farm.
Yeah, yeah, they're out of the fence. I was, oh, and they actually are all on the right side of the fence. I was out there already this morning. And everybody's on the are side they should be, yes.
Ooh, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Nobody jumped over.
No.
And what I did.
So the calf was on the wrong side of the fence.
Was he?
But the gate was also unlocked, so.
The far gate?
No, the one on the inside going out to the barn. I'll show you.
Uh-oh.
There's always something.
All right. Gates. Well, he's going to need a lot more training. Those sheep
were
great.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's going to need a lot of training.
He's not super intelligent, so. I was trying to get him to come. He was like stuck. He couldn't figure it out, poor thing. He's just a baby.
Just a baby.
Just a dumb little baby.
But we're busy. We're busy training them. We'll be busy with the bulls. So as far as, you know, the spring shows going forward, we still have, believe it or not, we still have some animals to tell you about and some big projects to talk about and some things going on. So stay tuned. As far as when will our next live show be, we're kind of getting back into the rhythm of things, back into the groove. So best thing I can tell you right now is get on our email list, because we do send out warning emails to let you know if we're going to go live. And that way you'll know ahead of time if we're going to be doing a live show. And what you can look forward to upcoming in the summer, we're going to be putting these animals out on pasture. You'll see how we do that. We have a really, really elaborate plan for for grass feeding this year. If you're wondering, last year we did a rotational grazing setup. This year we're moving towards that, but right now we're in the training mode. We actually, you saw it in the very intro video, we have our pigs out now.
Oh, pigs. Piglets are happy, fat, happy little sausages out on that grass.
Yeah. We had the
really
pigs
cute.
All winter long. They've been on the gravel pads, in the livestock pads. And I asked our pig mentor, you know, at what age do you let the sows and the piglets out? Kirsten said, as soon as they can follow the sow out there. So now our pigs are outside.
No, we do have somebody asking questions about exemptions.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's something you've talked about in another video, like state exemptions for homesteading.
We actually have, if you search in YouTube, farming taxes exemption. I did a whole video on this a couple of years back. What was the question exactly?
Can you ever do a video on exemptions for homesteading?
If any. Okay, great. And thank you, Cindy, for helping us find those questions. That's so helpful, having the mods find the questions. And our mods have been awesome today. I wanted to thank you, of course, as always, but they've been on top of stuff. We see what you're doing and what you're up to, and we really thank you for that. So we do have a whole video on farm tax exemptions. If you're interested, you can search it. You definitely can get some exemptions as a homesteader, and every state will be different, every place, and every farm, depending on what you're doing at what level. But to give you an idea, we have used in the past exemptions for property taxes. We've also had a sales tax exemption we've taken advantage of. The property tax exemption, you had to be a business selling, but there was no minimum. The sales tax exemption, you had to have a certain amount of sales from your farm, a dollar figure. For us in Connecticut, that was $2,500. And we were able to hit that with the sale of a couple whole pigs. So go check that video out. Look for it. Farm tax
exemptions.
Yeah, I think
Cindy found it.
Awesome. Cindy already linked to it.
Thank you.
So you can go and see that, and yeah, you can take advantage of that. So there's definitely stuff out there.
All right. Is that everything?
I think that, well, that's everything we're going to talk about today.
Today.
Yeah,
Austin is actually going to go planting this afternoon. He's got to plant some corn.
This is a first for us, too. And you will hear about it. We'll talk about this on an upcoming episode. We are getting into row cropping. We're getting into...
We've always said we're not much for a green thumb. We try. And this is the first year we're going to do it on kind of a bigger level with my parents next door. We've got a little field set aside to do some planting, corn. I know they want to do sunflowers.
Sunflowers,
right?
Corn, some squash, some pumpkins. So we're going to experiment, and you will see it in upcoming vlogs and upcoming live streams. We'll talk about it, and you get to learn about what we're doing with crops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First for us.
So thank you all for joining this morning live. If you're listening later, thank you for listening. Thank you to our super chats. The kids were super excited today.
Yeah.
They're going to go on a Dogecoin spending spree. And thank you everybody who joined us for Saturday morning for hitting that thumbs up. And we got over 100 thumbs up live. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. We will see you all in our next show, which we'll tell you about if you're on our email list. Click the link below for that, and we'll see you then.
Now we need lunch.
Let's go have lunch.
Belly's growling.